This past week, this yesterday, Shabbos Acher Kedoshim, and in the Yetosh and an Aleph, the Rebbe continued talking and again introduced the Sicha by saying this is a continuation of what we've been discussing the last few weeks since Chav Ches Nissen, that it's the responsibility of each and every person to do all that is in their power to bring about the true and complete redemption. So we need to discuss the significance of Geula itself, because by having a proper understanding of what Geula is, this will make it easier to understand what is the actual work that is required to bring the Geula, and how one should prepare oneself for the state of Geula. So that's why it's important to actually understand what Geula is. So the Rebbe introduces this by saying that we find different expressions in the Torah referring to redemption. In fact, one of the reasons given for the four cups that we drink on Pesach night is it corresponds to the four different expressions, the four different terms for redemption. But the Rebbe says, even though there are these four different terms, the main term that is generally used to refer to redemption is Geula. Even though there are other terms, that is the main term, and we see in various places of Chazal, they refer to redemption in general as Geula. So the Rebbe says, we see an amazing thing about the word Geula. The amazing thing about the word Geula is that it's made up of the four letters that make the word Geula, which means exile. It's the same four letters in the same order, the same first letter. You just add an Aleph into the word. Yeah, after the first letter, you add an Aleph. So Geula, the word Geula is made up of the word Geula with an Aleph introduced. So in fact, there's a Medrash that the Medrash says, referring to the prophecy of the Navi Zechariah, where he talks about a vision that is of Yeshua, the vision of Yeshua Kain Gadol, in which he goes up to heaven and he sees a menorah with a gula on its head. A gula, literally. The word gula is used to mean like a well. In that context, in the Medrash, the Chazal focus on the meaning, on the what this gula alludes to. So one says, so the Medrash says that the two interpretations of this word gula, that there are two amirim. One says that it means gula, that this is an allusion to the Jewish people in Galus. The menorah, the seven-branch menorah, alludes to the Jewish people, and the gula is an allusion to Galus. And the other one says that it's an allusion to, that the word gula is an allusion to geula, which means redemption. So, on this, there's an explanation that Alter Rebbe brings in Likutei Torah, and he says, this idea that Geula is the word Geula with the Aleph introduced. That's so basically, the third Al Rebbe brings this, that where does this Amira get from the word from the Geula in this vision, that it's a reference to Geula, because it's basically the same word with the introduction of the Aleph, and he explains that the Aleph is Alufay Shalom, the Aleph alludes to the Eibishter. So what is the explanation of this idea? What does it mean? It would seem that redemption and exile are diametrically opposed. What's this idea that just by adding an Aleph to the word that means exile, that's how you get redemption, just by introducing the godly dimension, introducing God into the equation? So all of a sudden, the exile becomes redemption. So the Rebbe explains that Geula does not mean that when you leave exile, you leave your whole life behind. Everything that you did, everything that occurred in the past in exile. It's not about leaving everything behind. To the contrary, Geula means that the entire existence that existed previously and that was subjugated in exile becomes redeemed. It's not that it's rejected and left behind and you move on, but it's that everything that existed before, but it was in an exile state, it becomes redeemed. So when we talk about, that's what the term Geula means by definition. So when we talk about the ultimate redemption, so basically what we mean to say is that every single thing, in the ultimate redemption, then every single thing gets redeemed. There are, Chazal referred to personal redemptions, individual redemptions. That's in fact, it's brought in the Gemara that we ask in Shemoneh Esrei. Every day we ask for personal redemption. So that's talking about, so even though that's not the general redemption of the entire Jewish people, that's, we ask God to see our suffering, see our, opposition that we have to deal with, and he should redeem us. Basically, it's just, the Gemara says, it's each individual asking for his own personal redemption, and Rashi explains that even though it's a personal redemption, it's still called Geula, and we say, Geul Yisrael, that's the bracha we make Shemoneh Esrei every day. When we talk about the ultimate redemption, that means every single thing is redeemed. Every single thing is redeemed. Nothing gets left behind. It will be a true and complete redemption in quantity and in quality of all things. From the most all-inclusive thing to the smallest little detail. Every Jew and all Jews and everything, everything that belonged to them in the world, and all of their activities and all of their accomplishments in Golos, Geula means that these things all become redeemed. And it also means the redemption of each and every person, including the nations of the world, and all the matters of the world, and every detail, every specific detail of all the person's individual matters. Any positive thing that existed in Golos will certainly continue to exist. So what's going to change? What's going to change is the status, the exile status will change. The concealment that covers the truth and the inner reality of all things, that will change. The subjugation to the ways of nature and the physicality of the world, that's what will be removed. As the Rambam says, that you shouldn't think that in the times of Mashiach, any of the normal conduct of the world will change, or that there'll be some new development in creation, but rather the world will continue in its normal custom. And the sages say the difference is the subjugation to the kingdoms. The difference between this world and the days of Mashiach is that we will no longer be subjugated to the kingdoms. And as the Rambam says, that all the nations of the world will turn to the true religion, and Mashiach will rectify the world, everyone, so that they'll serve God together. So that's the whole point of redemption. The point of redemption is that the concealment of exile, the subjugation to the natural order, to the physicality of the world, all of that goes away, but everything continues the same, except that now it's all in a redemptive state rather than an exile state. So the Rebbe says, if that's the case, then we can understand why the word Geula includes in it the word Geula with added Aleph. Because Geula doesn't mean leaving behind Golos. Geula means taking Golos along, bringing the Aleph into Golos, taking everything positive that existed in Golos, removing the concealment, bringing about the revelation of Aluf HaShalelum, of God in all things. And that way, everything is elevated to a state of Geula. So he says, it's not just this is not just an idea to explain the conceptual idea of the word Geula, but it actually is to explain the actual function, what Geula sets out to accomplish. That the point of Geula is to elevate all things that existed previously. However, we have to understand, why is that the key ingredient of Geula? We know that, yes, the Rambam says that in the first period, immediately following the revelation of Mashiach, things will continue as business as usual. But we know that there's going to be a second period. The Rambam says one of the 13 principles of faith is that there's going to be the resurrection of the dead. And nobody thinks that that is business as usual. Nobody thinks that that's the normal way of things. So clearly, even the Rambam has to acknowledge that there's a second period in which there's going to be all kinds of miraculous and amazing things supernatural things taking place. So why are we focusing only exclusively on elevating the current state of the world to that's the main point of Geula, is elevating the world as it exists currently to a more elevated state in which the true reality of the godliness that's contained within it is revealed, when we're actually talking, when there's actually going to be much greater revelations taking place further down the road. So from this we understand that the answer is in the question, from the very fact that we see that it's called Geula, and Geula includes even those amazing supernatural things like resurrection of the dead that will take place in the future. We see from this that even all the lofty matters of Geula are all accomplished through the work of a Jew in this world to introduce the godly element into everything in existence. So how do we understand that? So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe connects it with the first Mishnah and the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that you should look at three things. Then the Mishnah goes on, it says, look at three things and you won't come to sin. Then the Mishnah goes on to list three things. So the Rebbe says, if the Mishnah is going to list three things, why did it have to tell you the number for? You can count for yourself. If it just wanted to tell you these three things, why did it have to say, look at three things? When you look at three things, then you won't come to sin. Oh, by the way, what are the three things? And then it goes and lists three things for you to look at. So the Rebbe says that there's an allusion here in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is saying, before we get into the specific three things, there's a general instruction to a Jew, you should always look at three things. What does it mean, you should always look at three things? Because a Jew could think that the only thing he needs to be looking at is two things. He needs to be looking at his own, is his existence, and then there's the Torah. That's all the Jew needs to be concerned with, himself and the Torah. So the Mishnah is coming to tell you and say, no, you have to look at three things. You have to know there's a third thing, there's a world. You can't ignore the world. You can't just throw yourself into the Torah and ignore the world and not deal with the world. There's a third thing that you need to be focused on. You need to be focused on the world. Why do you need to be focused on the world? Because the whole point is that the Eibishter created a world because he wants, and he sent the soul down here into a physical body because the Eibishter wants a dwelling place in this lowly world down here. The whole purpose of the whole exercise is that the Eibishter wants to be revealed in this world down here. The Eibishter wants the person to transform the world and make it into a dwelling place for him. And he can only accomplish this by himself descending into a physical body down here and operating within the world, being involved in worldly matters, and using that as the means to reveal godliness in the world. So by utilizing the physical object for a mitzvah, and making it into a vessel for godliness, like for example the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is equal to all the other mitzvahs, and it says it's the main of all the mitzvahs, and it's higher than all the other mitzvahs, that a Jew takes the work of his hands, his physical money that he earned, and he gives away his physical livelihood to God. That's how we transform the world. The same thing applies to all other mitzvahs. So this third thing is, which is making the world into a dwelling place for God, is not an additional thing besides for the Jew and the Torah. It's not a side thing. In fact, it's the main purpose. That's why, that's the main exercise of everything is, as the Alter Rebbe says, Zeh kol ha'adam, v'tachlis b'riyasi. This is the entirety of man. And the ultimate intent, and the ultimate reason for his existence and his descent into this world, in which Rebbe included as one of the 12 psukim, Zeh kol ha'adam, v'tachlis b'riyasi, is that it should be to make a dira b'tachtein. And not only that, it's such primary importance that it's in fact that the person has to remember these three things. That it's in fact the entire reason that his soul was sent down into this world, because it would seem sending a soul down to this world would actually be contradictory to God's normal conduct, because we know that God is the source and of all good, is the ultimate good. It's described as its very nature is goodness, and it's the nature of goodness to only do good. So if God is all about kindness and goodness, so the whole point should be about in creating a soul would be to raise it higher and higher. What's this idea of sending a soul down into a lowly world where it faces challenges of has to choose between good and evil, life and death, and faces all kinds of dangers and challenges. So obviously, this being able to be a part of this mission, of this job, of making God a dwelling place in this world, is such a great privilege, is such a great goodness that it's worth everything that you're going to have to go through and everything that you're going to have to face. And it's actually an expression of God's ultimate goodness in that he does send the soul down here. That not only does the soul, through coming down here, reach a higher level, as it's explained many places of Chassidus, why did the soul come down here in order to achieve an even higher level than it could before, but the ultimate accomplishment is that it actually gets to participate in the work of creating for the Eibishter a Dirba Tachlein. So it ever says, this instruction of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says you should always look at three things, means despite the fact that the lofty source of the soul, that it's literally a part of God above. And this, he has to remember that even greater and even more important is that he has to make himself and the world, make himself by revealing inside his own physical existence and in the world, in the physical existence of the world, a diraba tachtein. When a person is so totally invested and committed to this process, he recognizes that his whole existence is that he's been granted the privilege of participating in the divine mission of creating a dwelling place for the Eibishter. And if not for that, we would never have even been sent down here. That's such a great accomplishment that it's worth facing all of the hardships and difficulties and challenges that come in coming down. When a person is so focused on that, then ain't not to bully the avery. We're not going to come to a sin. You're not even going to come to a possibility of a sin, because you realize that you're a visitor from a foreign reality to carry out a specific mission, and that's why you're here in the world. That's your whole focus in being here in the world. Really, your real place is to be up in the higher spheres, becoming progressively closer and closer to God. It's not that the fact that he did something that's so contrary to his very being and sending you down here to this world, which would seem to be the antithesis of who you are and what you are and where you belong, is because of this tremendous important mission that you're sent here to accomplish. And this is accomplishes a great aliyah in the neshama itself, and even greater, it reaches a level of shleimus in that it's able to fulfill the divine plan and the divine intent. That makes that the ultimate goodness in being sent down here. When that's how you look at the world, you're here. You don't belong here. You're here because you have a job to do here. And you're totally focused on doing that job. So it's much more powerful than just simply focusing on the loftiness of the soul, or just focusing on the spiritual loftiness of Torah, because the fact is you could easily get pulled into the world, you get distracted by the world. But when you're operating within the world and your focus is on the world, but you see the world only in terms of your mission in the world, then you're not even susceptible to the possibility of an aver. So the Rebbe says, so this will help us understand even more the idea that Geula is the letters of Geula of Galus with the addition of an Aleph. Geula doesn't negate exile. In fact, it includes the exile. What it does is it elevates. Even it elevates the exile by introducing and revealing in it the light of the Aleph of Alufa Shalelum of the Eivishter, because this is the purpose and intent to make a dwelling place for the Eivishter in the lowly realms, including the way the lowly realms existed in exile, to reveal the Aleph, the Aluf HaShalem, to reveal the godliness in the lowly realms, even as they stand, as they existed within exile. That's the whole point of Geula, including the ultimate fantastical revelations of Geula, is to bring about the revelation of the infinite light in this physical world, so that it becomes a dwelling place for Hashem, ultimately to the point that it's a dwelling place for God's very essence. And that's why the whole Indian of Geula is dependent, Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, it's dependent on our actions, on our service throughout the entire period of Geulus, because the work, it's all dependent on that work of introducing the Aleph into the Geula. Not only is it that the descent into exile brings the greater ascent of redemption, but it's actually the redemption itself is a direct result of the process of exile, of the work that's done within exile. So the Rebbe goes on to connect this to the days of the Sfira, he goes on to connect it to the days, goes on to connect it to the Parshas of Achrei and Kedoshim. And it is very interesting and very important to see how the Rebbe makes all those connections. And the Rebbe goes on to connect, make a connection also with the, since it's Yud, was like this year, Achrei Kedoshim came out on Yud Gimel Iyar, which is the yahrzeit of the Rebbe's brother. So the Rebbe went on to explain the connection with the name Yisrael Ayulev. So, and here's very important, the Rebbe talks about the lesson from the name Yisroel in terms of doing this job of revealing the Aleph in Golos. So the Rebbe says a very interesting thing here. That the name Yisroel indicates two seemingly opposite aspects. The name Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribu, is an anagram for Yesh Shishim Ribu Isis LaTorah. So that, the name Yisrael, indicates the connection that a Jew has with Torah. The name Yisrael, and the way it's explained in the Pasuk, that the origin of the name Yisrael was given to him, the angel said, you are given the name Yisrael, Kisarisa im Elokim v'imanoshim v'atucha, because you, as they teach in Cheder, they teach in Yiddish, because you geweltigt sich, you overpowered, you did battle with Elikim, with angels that are called Elikim, and with people Anoshim Batuchol, and you emerged victorious. You were found able. So one aspect of the name Yisrael seems to focus more on the connection to Torah, which Torah is higher than the world. Torah is higher than the physical reality. So that seems to refer to, allude to the aspect of the Jew as he's completely above the world. The other aspect of the name, which is the fact that you did battle against angels and people and you emerged victorious, that seems to be very much focused on the struggle in the world and on fighting the world and overpowering the world. So the Rebbe says the lesson from this in Avodas Hashem, the Rebbe says that every Jew has to know that first of all he's Yisrael and he has his own letter in the Torah, that his root and his source is his letter in the Torah, and everything he has to be done has to be found, has to be predicated on and guided by the teachings and directives of the Torah. However, he also has to know that there's this third thing. He has to know that he has to take that power that he has as a Jew, who's higher than the world, and he has to take that power and use it to do battle with the world. Because he has to, again, he said he has to look at three things. He has to do battle with the world in order to make it a dwelling place for Hashem in the lowly realms. So his job is not to just be a Yisrael, and to remove and just focus on his connection to Torah, remove himself from the world. He has to go out into the world as a Yisrael, as someone who's above the world. He has to now go out into the world and deal with Elikim, which Elikim in this passage refers to a Malach. So that alludes to the physical forces of nature, which we know that there's nothing, no leaf, blade of grass that grows that doesn't have a malach that's telling it to grow. That the idea of a malach represents the natural forces of nature. And the same thing, people, who are the people that he did battle with? Esav and Lavan, the nations of the world. So he has to go out into the world and deal with the physicality and the nature of the world. He has to deal with the nations of the world. And in that world, he has to create a dwelling place for Hashem based on the directions, based on the directives and instructions of the Torah, of the Yeshishim Ribi Yeshish La Torah, of the Torah. And through his struggling with Elikim, with the natural forces of, with the nature of the world, and Anoshim, with the nations of the world, so it will be in a way of sarisa, of a sar, of someone who's ruling over the forces of nature and the world. And the Rebbe says that all of this has to be in a way of vatuchel. What's vatuchel? Vatuchel is also related to it means ability. You're found able from the word yichelas, but it also comes from the word, root of the word koil or kolul. Kolil, meaning incorporating or the entirety of a thing, that the way you're supposed to work with the world is not by breaking it. We're talking about fighting. Fighting sounds like you're going to war with the world. You go to war with an enemy, you want to crush the enemy, you want to break the enemy. No. The way you have to, the transformation of the world is not in a way of negating the world, of breaking the world. The way of transforming the world is by elevating it, incorporating it, utilizing the natural forces in your service of Hashem, and in utilizing and convincing the world that the world should embrace and accept God's kingdom willingly, not by forcing and imposing it, but by bringing them in, incorporating them into the service of Hashem, including by promoting the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and so on. So the Rebbe, after this whole thing, the Rebbe says we have a number of lessons as it relates to the service of a Jew and bringing about the redemption. and how to prepare oneself for the redemption, since we're standing literally at the end of the time of Galus, and we're holding Ot by the Geula. So the Rebbe says the first thing is we have the answer to those who wonder and are fearful about the fact that we're making a big tumult that every Jew has to do and accomplish to bring about that the Geula should come immediately. And the Rebbe adds in a parenthesis, being that they're open people, they actually verbalize these concerns. He says those who are wondering and who are fearful about the fact that we're making a big tumult, that you have to do everything in your power to bring about the redemption. So he says, being that they're open people, they actually verbalize their wonderment and their concerns. So the Rebbe says, there's nothing to be concerned about. The Mashiach will come very soon. The Rebbe speaks out more of the concerns. He says, when Mashiach is going to come, they ask, what's going to happen with all the activities and all the things that they accomplished throughout many years in exile? All the businesses that they built up, the property and possessions that they acquired, the friends and contacts that they made amongst Jews and even amongst non-Jews. What's going to happen with all these things when Mashiach comes? They're afraid that it's all going to go poof. So the answer is, there's nothing to be afraid about, because Geula doesn't mean the negation of the normal way of the world. All the good things that they accomplished in Galus, we don't mean negating all those good things that were accomplished in Galus. To the contrary, Geula incorporates within it all the positive things of exile and elevates them, so that you take a law by revealing the Aleph, the Alufa Shalela, the true intent and purpose of all these things, in so far as they bring out the divine glory and the divine truth. So therefore, there's nothing to worry about. All a person's activities, even in permitted matters, not things that don't relate directly to Torah mitzvahs, everything that you accomplished in Galus, as long as it was done according to Torah, everything is all going to be elevated. In fact, the Rebbe says this is an instruction that somebody who's actually involved, that the main bulk of his day is involved in worldly matters, such as someone who's in business, should actually look for ways to reveal in his business activities the honor of the Eibushter, and to utilize his business activities and his possessions and contacts to find ways to utilize those to add an increase in Torah mitzvahs. So the Rebbe says, we also understand from this, on the other hand, that those who think that the Avod of Geula means not having to do with the world and negating the world, that they're also getting it wrong. The ones who are worried about what's going to happen with all my worldly affairs and activities, there's nothing for them to worry. In fact, you should be utilizing those things to reveal godliness. For those who think the other way, that Geula means rejecting everything from the world, they're also wrong. You have to go out and prepare the world for Geula. Yes, you have to do battle with the concealments of the world, but you also have to know that the point of doing battle with the concealment of the world is in order to actually bring the world into the embracing the divine kingdom willingly, starting from a person's own portion in the world, by adding in his own fulfillment of mitzvahs, utilizing the physical objects, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah, by utilizing your material goods and utilizing your wealth to help another Jew, that the other Jew should also have all his needs met in terms of his sustenance and his clothing and so on, and also to help out organizations that promote Torah and charity and the like. And so too, in all of your activities in permitted things, you also be in a way of serving God, doing them all for the sake of heaven, and in all your ways you should know Him. And especially through spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit, through Hafatzas HaMayonos, including and particularly to be Me'ira Jews in the entire world, that they should increase even more in the study of Torah and fulfillment of mitzvahs, and also promoting and revealing in the entire world the Alufa Shelaylam, including through being Mashpia on the nations of the world as relates to Sheva Mitzvah Neinayach, and to prepare them also to for the time when the kingdom shall be unto God.
I have a question.
In Yemaisa Mashiach, they certainly have a part. In fact, that's one of the key things that Mashiach accomplishes is, as the prophet says, and the Rambam brings, and his laws, is that he influences all the nations of the world to join together to serve God. So just clearly, they're part of the process. And in fact, it even goes on to explain at length how you could see from the events that were taking place at that time that the nations of the world themselves are progressing in terms of doing various activities that express the honor of the Eivishter, such as increasing in former President Bush being the education president. He speaks about the relief efforts sent out at that time. They sent out the army, sent out to deliver food and help to refugees in other parts of the world. This is the very fact that we see these things is also an indication of Ashkara brought this. The reason why we're able to see this is that we should utilize this to reveal even more in the world and to make the world a Dir Batachtayim and to bring the Geula. And the fact that the Eivishter helps, that we see in these things that the world itself is helping and leading to Geula. So the lesson that's supposed to encourage us and strengthen us even more, that every person has to add in his own divine service and Torah mitzvahs, and all, especially things that are specifically connected to bringing the Geula, including, as we spoke, and the Rebbe says, including, as we spoke in the last Fabrangim, especially and including studying Torah topics that are related to the matters of Geula. And again, the Rebbe says, we also should take the lesson from Pesach Sheni, which is that there's nothing that's ever lost, meaning you could always rectify, that even those things that seem to have perhaps gotten lost in Gullahs, to make sure that they in fact don't get lost, and that they're retrieved and they're saved and so on. So that's the basic content of the cigarettes, basically everything that the Rebbe said. But just to give a little perspective, if I can, is that here again, the Rebbe is basically continuing the thing that we started speaking about last week, the idea that our whole understanding of exile and redemption is basically the idea is that we see ourselves in exile as sort of helpless. That we're victims. We are very much limited, we're constrained, which is actually one of the understandings of Gullus, that Siddhis explains Gullus, that idea that you're sorely limited and constrained, and therefore there's only so much you can do when you're in Gullus. But part of that feeling of being in Gullus is the feeling of, we know that there's a rule, Ein chav shmat atzmi beis asurim. Prisoner can't free himself from prison. It's brought in the Gemara. Right? A prisoner can't free himself from prison. He needs someone else has to free him. You can't free yourself. So we have this sense of the fact that they're being in Gullus because the general model of understanding the dynamic of Gullus is you are bad, you got punished, So basically, Golos is this place where we're very, you know, we're forced to suffer. We're very restricted, physically, materially, and even spiritually. So the idea that we can get ourselves out of here, it seems almost antithetical to the believing Jew. In fact, if you go to most Orthodox Jews and start talking in terms of we need to get ourselves out of Golos, they will be deeply offended. They will think that it's actually disrespectful to God to even suggest the idea that you're going to get yourself out of Golos. What do you mean you're going to get yourself out of Golos? Golos is this. And also, if you'll come to the average Orthodox Jew, a religious Jew, and again, even a Hasidic Jew until very recently, until the Rebbe started changing our whole way of looking at things. If you come to a religious Jew and you would say the idea that that actually it's not about leaving Golos behind, but it's about taking the Golos with you, but elevating and revealing the godliness in the Golos, that's not the normal way that the people think. Yes, Hasidus had this concept. It's been around. Obviously, the Alter Rebbe wrote in Tanya, and it's been discussed a great deal. I'll see this idea of Dira B'Tachtonim, but even the idea of Dira B'Tachtonim still, we still ended up walking away with the feeling of all this work that we're doing down here, it's very nice, we're bringing in godliness, and in the future we'll actually see the revelation of everything we accomplished. But there was still the feeling that Golos is this place where we are out of our element, and basically, you know, Geula means we finally get out of here and go back to where we belong. And we're going to leave everything behind. So the Rebbe is taking many of these preconceived notions, and again, many of them have strong roots and bases in Torah, and not just ideas that people got, you know, from the wrong sources or from outside of Judaism. This is actually from within Judaism itself. You have a certain sense of your own, there's a perception that seeing yourself as powerless beyond your own individual moral choices, but seeing yourself as powerless beyond your own individual moral choices seems more respectful to God than to seeing the world as if you are the architect of the world's of the world reaching and achieving its ultimate purpose and its ultimate fulfillment. So we're not programmed to think that way. We're programmed, so the Rebbe says that the reason why we're not programmed to think that way is because we have a mistaken understanding of the relationship between exile and redemption. Because of this understanding of exile and redemption as simply in its most literal context, we're supposed to be in Israel, we got kicked out, and now we're in these foreign countries, we don't belong here, we have to deal with things that it's not our business to be dealing with, but that's just part of the suffering and part of the punishment and part of the whatever. So that whole perception that Golos is, which is similar to the way it was in Mitzrayim, right? In Mitzrayim, we took out from Mitzrayim whatever it is that we were supposed to take out from Mitzrayim, and basically everything else got left behind, everything else got destroyed, everything else got, including many Jews, were buried and left behind. So the Rebbe says that is totally not what this whole process is about. What this whole process is about that the Eibishter invested in every Jewish soul the power to transform the world, to make it over in God's image, and to be successful in doing that. And not only is the world, and to the extent that the world is going to put up a fight, first of all, you should know that you have the power to overcome, and to not just to beat down the world, but to actually transform the world, that the world should willingly go along. So you not only have the power to overcome, to win, insofar as the world puts up a fight, but you can actually get the world to come along willingly. And the fact that we're living in a times where we see this country that used to be the greatest opposition to this guy is now helping and assisting. Dude, are they consciously aware that the reason why they're helping and assisting is because this is what God wants and this is the divine plan and this is... No. But part of why they're not conscious of it is because you're not teaching it to them. You're not revealing it to them. You have the ability, you have the power through living your own life according to the directives of the Torah and influencing the world according to the directives of the Torah to make the world itself realize that everything it that's happening in it is that its whole existence is only to serve God and to bring out the glory of God, and that and even the things that it's doing that are positive, the reason, the real reason behind it is because they're moving more in line with the the Geula reality of the glory of God. So what the Rebbe is saying is that we need to adjust, and that's why the Rebbe introduces the whole thing, that it's not just about understanding what we need to do. The Rebbe says, how does one prepare oneself for the state, the matzav of Geula, for the state of redemption? What does it mean to prepare yourself for a new state? The Rebbe says, we need a significant attitude adjustment. Our whole attitude is based on the fact that we're in a bad place, we need to get out of here, we're helpless in this bad place, that's one of the reasons why we need to get out of here, and that's, we're just waiting for God to swoop down and get us out of here. Now, that's on the one hand, when we look at Geula that way. On the other hand, there's also an ambivalence about that, because we feel like if God's going to swoop down and get us out of here, what about all the stuff that I have here? What's going to happen with everything that I worked to build my whole life here? That's going to get lost. So that creates an ambivalence. I'm not really sure. I'm in a hurry to get out of here because I got a lot of good stuff here that I like here. What's going to happen with everything that I worked for my whole life? The Rebbe says, because we have it backwards, so we end up having these contradictory conflicts. On the one hand, we see ourselves as helpless in terms of determining the outcome. On the other hand, we also see ourselves as ambivalent about wanting that outcome because all the stuff that's going to get left behind. When a person sees reality from, as the Rebbe says, from the stock of Shleisha Dvarim, when a person sees the larger plan, and they see that the whole plan from day one was never about, you forget about, yes, there's the aspect of being punished and being exiled from your land, isn't it? There's a larger plan. The larger plan is really, it's all about, the ultimate exile is just the fact that a soul even comes down here and has to be in a physical body and deal with the physical world. It's a far greater descent than being kicked from this country to that country. And if the reason, so there's obviously a very deep plan behind that God had in mind that he even would do such a thing. Because there's some really great thing that has to be accomplished here, and you are given the power and the ability to accomplish that, which is to go into the world and operate within the world and transform the world so that and elevate everything that's in the world and reveal godliness in everything that's in the world. You actually have the power to and it's through your actions that produce the outcome, and the outcome is not leaving stuff behind. The whole point, the same reason why you have the power to produce the final outcome of Geula is the same reason why you don't have to be concerned about everything you worked on being left behind, because That's exactly what you've been working on, is revealing the godliness within everything. And that's why you are, that's what you've been working on, that's what you've been trying to accomplish, it's what you will achieve is Geula. And through achieving Geula, you will not leave anything behind. In fact, you will take out even the things that appear to have been lost will be redeemed. And even the things of the people and so on, that everything will be redeemed through your efforts in revealing the godliness in everything in the world. But it's a whole different mindset. It's a mindset of not that there's this big bad world and I'm stuck in this big bad world and how do I survive? Which is, again, a lot of from people, that's the idea. The world is displaced with all these challenges and all this opposition, all this. The question is, how do I get to the finish line with the best positive outcome for me, the strongest commitment to Torah and mitzvahs and the least sins and how do I make it through in this terrible world? How do I survive? That's the wrong mentality. The mentality is the whole story is about you. The whole story of the world is about you, and the world is sitting here waiting for you to fix it. And at this point, we're so close to the end that the world is not only waiting for you to fix it, it's going to help you fix it. Yes, there's going to be some resistance. It's not going to go easily. It's going to give you some work to do. It's going to throw some challenges at you. But it's only there. It only exists in order for you to rectify it, to transform it, to elevate it, and to reveal God and godliness within it. And again, you have to start by doing that within yourself. You have to see within yourself and see yourself as a godly being and how your own physicality exists only for the purpose, your whole existence as a soul in a physical body is only as a divine emissary carrying out the divine plan and reaching the ultimate perfection of fulfilling that divine plan.